Well, good morning, everybody. I'm happy to be back. I had the most wonderful retreat. And I guess I just have two thoughts for today after such a beautiful and lengthy gospel. But it really hits on a bunch of different things. I just want to focus on two of them. The first is the power of a conversation. This became very real to me while I was away on my retreat in a bunch of different ways. But one of them was, I was on retreat in the monastery. I call it the big house at St. Mindred, a beautiful place. And, you know, there's no talking in the monastery. And even dinners and things, at lunches are, well, some lunches you talk, but depends on the day. But breakfast and dinner almost always in silence. And it was really powerful. But I was on retreat with a couple other parish priests who we planned our retreat together because I really like these guys. And they're both, two of them are from Louisville. One of them is the Vicar General of Louisville, and so he's kind of second in command of the whole diocese. And another one is on the personnel board, which help they kind of consult, make a recommendation to the bishop with the different priest assignments and moves and everything. I call it the personality board instead of the personnel board. But they all kind of gather together and they figure out what priest is going to go where and blah 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 for the Archdiocese of Louisville. Well, anyway, one night they had retreated to one of their cells because they were talking about the different moves. And their job that night was to come up with a slate that would then go to the whole board and then would then go to the bishop. And I got to thinking, as I was in my cell, I was thinking, on the other side of this wall is a conversation that is taking place that will affect so many lives, not just the lives of the priests that are going to be moving to new parishes and whatever, but all of the congregations that are going to be affected in the Archdiocese of Louisville. I thought, holy smokes, all because of one conversation. Now, the bishop still has to sign off on it, and it might change just a hair, but by and large, that list will probably be what happens, all because of a conversation. Isn't that crazy? Our parish here on Friday, there was a guy who told me that after Stations of the Cross, he said, I met somebody in the parking lot. It was her first time here at St. Joe. And I talked with her and I welcomed her and we talked for a while, he said. And I got to thinking, man, the power of that conversation, of welcoming a new person, and helping them to feel kind of a part of this family. Very powerful, a conversation. C.S. Lewis and Tolkien, they were contemporaries. They wrote a lot of different books. Of course, Tolkien wrote The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, a bunch of other really great stuff. And it's all Catholic, by the way. There's Catholic stuff all over in these things. And anyway, but one time, a man named C.S. Lewis had a conversation. C.S. Lewis did not yet know Jesus. But because of this conversation that happened between these two men, C.S. Lewis came to find, he found the Lord. And all of the books that he wrote, which are tons. If you've not read any C.S. Lewis, you ought to start with Mere Christianity. But he wrote tons of great stuff, all because of one conversation that he had with Tolkien. Isn't that wild? A conversation. There was not that long ago that there was a true story. It was after a daily mass, right here in this beautiful church. And there was a gentleman here who had not really been here before. And I was not here for this Mass, and so Father Paul had departed. And there was a gentleman, one of our parishioners, who was kind of cleaning up. And he knows this guy out there, and they had a conversation that lasted quite some time. Turns out the man was very unhappy in his life. And he told our parishioner, he said, "You saved my life." And all because of a conversation. Jesus today has a lengthy conversation, doesn't he, with a Samaritan woman who had come to the well, and she had come to fill her jar with water. Every time we go to prayer, we are having a conversation with Jesus, just like this woman who goes to this well, and there's this very lengthy, we heard the whole thing, conversation that takes place between her and the Lord. That's what happens in our prayer. And that conversation can change everything. absolutely everything in our life. Which is one reason, maybe next week I'll talk about the Adoration Chapel that's coming. I'll give you all an update on that. A lot of people have been asking different things, and it's really exciting. But to foster conversations with the Lord, huge differences happen in our lives. This woman here, her life was changed forever. John Chrysostom, he said, a beautiful quote here. He said that when we go to prayer, it's like this. He says, God is a spring of living water, which flows unceasingly into the hearts of those who pray. Isn't that beautiful? That God is this spring of living water. We heard about it in our first reading. Moses striking the rock. That rock is an image of the church. And outside, flowing out of the gushing, flowing forever outside of the church, just like Jesus on the cross, is this water that saves the whole bloody world. The baptismal waters, the salvific waters of salvation, flowing and engulfing all of us, seeping into our hearts, and we absorb it all. And it changes everything. And that's what happens in prayer, all because of a conversation. And I'm here to tell you that those conversations that we have with God, totally impactful. And even those human conversations that we have change a lot of stuff too. So we should never be afraid to have a conversation with somebody about Jesus. To testify, to witness to the working of God's grace in our own life might just save somebody's soul from eternal damnation, but most importantly might bring them to an incredible relationship with Jesus and bring joy and happiness that they have never known on this side of heaven. It's amazing, the power of a conversation. My brother had a conversation with me one time. He was in college. He came to tell me about a retreat that he had gone on at the Newman Center. I was a high schooler. I didn't really care about the Lord too much. He came into my bedroom one night and started talking. I'll never forget that conversation because I realized that if Jesus mattered that much to my brother, maybe I ought to give him a second thought too. Conversations change it all. Most of the Bible is conversations. We ought to foster those with Jesus and with one another. My second thought is just about sin. Jesus doesn't really like sin, if you didn't notice. And he has very powerful words about sin all of the time. And the reason that Jesus doesn't like sin is because it makes slaves out of his sons and daughters. We heard about that in our first reading, didn't we? And here our ancestors, God saves them from Egypt, slavery in Egypt, terrible, the likes of which we will never know. And God saves them and takes them through the desert to the promised land. But here they are in the desert, they're on their way and they're cursing the Lord. I want to go back to Egypt because at least there we had food. Yeah, we were slaves, but at least it was a little bit comfortable. Jesus wants to save us from our slavery, and sin makes slaves of us all. Do you know that, speaking of C.S. Lewis, he wrote a thing called The Great Divorce. It's a beautiful thing. And it's about this guy, and he's wrestling with the demon of lust. And he can't get over it. And he goes, and no matter what I do, this thing has just got me. I hate it. I hate it, but I do it. I hate it, but I do it. Blah, blah, blah. And then this angel comes in. He says, "Will you let me kill it?" And the guy goes, "What?" He goes, "Well, maybe I kind of like it a little bit." You know, and the angel says again, "Will you let me kill it? Will you let me kill it?" And finally the man says, "Yes." And it's strangled. Folks, Jesus looks at us and he looks at whatever sin we have, our addictions especially. He goes, "Will you let me kill it?" Most people can't overcome their sins on their own. Nobody can. And most people, when they say, "Oh, I'm struggling with this. I'm doing this. I hope to do better. I'm not going to do it again. I'm not." It all starts with "I." We give it over to Jesus and we let him kill it because he can. He alone can. None of us is powerful over sin. Jesus is, and he will kill it if we let him. And that's the catch. We got to let him. Most people, we think it's all up to us. The Samaritan woman, Her life was changed in the midst of this conversation because she realized that there was a power beyond her own, and that that power was a power of mercy, a power that said you got a bad deal in your life and you shouldn't be messed with, or you shouldn't have that forever. I want to release you from that. I want you to be happy. I want you to be joyful. I want you to not only on earth, but on heaven, in heaven forever. And folks, that's what Jesus wants for us too. And so, that's what we give to God today. Let's ask the good Lord to help us always have good conversations with Him, with other people. Yesterday, I have to tell you, my heart was very broken because I know it's spring break and people are sick and whatever, but I was looking out at the empty pews and I'm thinking, man, what are we doing, you know? And 10:30 is always better, but 5 o'clock sometimes, I'm thinking, if we all had a conversation and let Jesus work through us in all that way, man, this place would be on fire, you know? And the same thing with sin. We just have to give it over to the Lord. Let Him kill it. That's why AA and every addiction thing always has the higher power. We might as well call the higher power what His name is, and it's Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.